The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, is in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love with outdoor dining. Book now and enjoy the Sarah experience.
Welcome one and all to the DL Debate. Thanks very much for tuning in. Now on Highland Radio or back via podcast. We're taking a look back at another packed weekend's action of GAA in the county. And we'll hear from ladies boss Maxie Coon later in the show after his side's narrow defeat to Galway in the championship. Also coming on the show is Times and Sunday Times reporter Michael Fovey. And Tyrone legend Enda McGinley will be joining us to shoot the breeze on Donegal's exit at Ulster semi-final stage yesterday. But first of all, looking through the glass here is the head of sport, the man on the mic, Oisin Kelly. Oisin, how are you this evening?
I'm good, Brendan, and you?
Very good, very good. Oisin, listen, it was a tough weekend for sport in the county. Three county teams seeing defeat, you know, our under-20s, our seniors and our ladies teams. It was a tough weekend. We were expecting a lot, the three teams to progress and go through, but how did you see it? Particularly first, I suppose, starting with the under-20s, Oisin fell away badly in the second half.
Yeah. Listen, Brendan, going to your point about it being a tough weekend, it was a tough weekend to swallow, three defeats, and it was a tough weekend both on and off the pitch, as we know. And we'll start with the under-20s and that game that really doesn't mean a wild lot now at this stage when you consider what happened afterwards and the event afterwards in relation to the Monaghan captain, Brendan O'Duffy, who so sadly lost his life in a car accident. But the game itself on Friday, we had, from a Donegal point of view, we had very high hopes that we could progress through to a provincial final, and at half time it looked that way. We were leading by 5 points. Monaghan had registered just a goal and a point, and probably were lucky even to have that score on the board. Donegal should have been further ahead. They were controlling the game, bossing the game. They were the dominant side. Monaghan never really threatened us. The communication between the players was very poor from a Monaghan point of view. They were getting turned over very, very easily. Their possession when they had ball, particularly with the hand pass, it was dreadful. If you've seen it maybe in an under-12 game, the management would have been given out. But Monaghan came out of the second half, and by God, they give Donegal a show of how to play football. They were absolutely tremendous. And you sort of forget about the fact that that young minor, that team of Monaghan had won 2 minor titles, so yes, they know how to win coming up through the age ranks, and they never panicked. 5 down, and they just flipped Donegal in the second half. Outscored something like 2-10 to, was it 1-2?
Yeah.
And in the second half, they got 2 more goals, had 3 goals, a hat-trick coming from Swinburne. That second half, they had leaders all over the pitch. So they had, and deservingly won the game on their second half performance. It was hugely disappointing from a Donegal point of view, because they fell away in the second half. And that's a good group of Donegal footballers. They're a talented bunch, and they're a lot better than that second half performance, but Monaghan grabbed the momentum in the game, Brendan, and when you get momentum like that, it's really, really hard to come back. And Brendan O'Duffy was one of those leaders on the pitch for Monaghan on Friday night, and so sad, and unfortunately the young guy lost his life in a car accident. And when we heard the horrific news on Saturday morning, and GAA and sport means a lot to people, but it was so insignificant come Saturday morning when the news filtered through that young man had lost his life, and a terrible tragedy.
Well, listen, sympathies with the family, Oisin, of course, that Monaghan Harps lad. Funny, I was talking to Seamus McEnany yesterday, who had him as a captain underage, and he made fact of they had a vote for the captain, and I think he got like 85% of the vote. Like, all the lads loved him. Like, outside of his ability as a player, he looked like he was going to be a future leader and whole life ahead of him. And a horrible, horrible news. Sympathies with his family, Oisin, in this tough time. Oisin, just looking across our ladies going down, they'd beat Galway earlier in the lead up to this game, and they were going into the game as favourites, Oisin, and they were 164 up at half time. Everything in place to kick on, and then absolutely crazy start the second half.
Yeah, it was a bit like the Friday night for the under-20s. Galway turned it around the second half, totally turned it around. They had 3 goals, three very quick goals. 2 of the goals coming on the space of 60 seconds from Ailish Morrissey. And Galway weren't going away at half time, and they came out of the blocks in the second half, and they showed a bit of character. And they have players in there. Nicola Ward, actually, who has relations through marriage in Donegal, I think's the best way to put it. She got a goal as well, and she's an experienced player. And the experienced players of Galway on the day sort of told. And once they got those three goals in front and once they got ahead, there was no coming back for Donegal. They tried to chip away at it, and it was a harsh championship lesson again for Donegal. Max will be speaking to you later, and we know Donegal ladies football is at a stage where they need to be beating the bigger teams now. They're at a stage where they need to do it, but unfortunately seemed to be the same old story last Saturday for them. But they're not out of the championship yet. They still have another crack at it. They have to play Kerry this coming weekend, which will be a tough game for them. Kerry should have beaten Galway in the opening match the previous Friday night, Brenda. Mm. So they should have. So, but championship's not over. That's luckily from a ladies' point of view. Yeah. You can win a game there and get to a quarter final.
Yes, that's
so you
right.
can. So they're still,
right. they have a group seeds going on there, a group stage. Oisin, just you mentioned the under 20s may be better than that. Just a quick word, obviously, me and Enda's going to talk about the game in a bit. But, you know, we need talent coming through. You know, we're looking at Donegal. And I think in Boner's tenure there, you can look at it in two ways in terms of us beating big sides. Me and you spoke about this before, about beating the top teams. It's not maybe our fault we won those couple of Ulsters without kind of having to beat Division 1 teams. We always look at the Division 1 teams. Mm-hmm. So there's a question mark about it. And then, you know, we got to weigh that up versus the squad that we have. You know, I think it was a shrewd move to bring in the like a Rochford there as well. And at times Donegal have hit the heights. But yesterday, the sending off obviously completely changed the game. But in your mind, Oisin, do you think we could have won that match from the penalty incident, for example?
I think if I am of the belief that if Michael Murphy had converted that penalty, that would have put us five up. And we talked about momentum in the under 20 game and momentum for the Galway ladies. Donegal would have had serious momentum then for that second quarter, Brendan, going to half time. And I think that could have been the period that would have won us the game because we would have had a stronghold in Tyrone, and you would have the psychological edge if that sort of goal had went in. Now, you could say maybe that was the post that saved Tyrone yesterday, because I firmly believe that we would have got a lot of momentum and a huge lift of that goal that went in. Mm. And at that stage in the game, we were sort of controlling things, Brendan. So we were. It was going in our favour. I think we would have knocked on from that. But then when we lost Michael Murphy to those two cards. Now, the disputing, looking at it last night on the television, you could say the first one was harsh, but maybe the challenge was a bit high, and that's why the referee gave it a yellow. The second one, was it deliberate? Was it a black card? I don't think so. We probably, if it wasn't a black card, he was going to get a yellow for it, which wouldn't have mattered, Brendan. He was gone anyway. So
it was accidental, but it had to get a card.
Yeah. To lose Michael Murphy in that manner before the break, and then for Tyrone to take a grip of the game. And yes, we did get it back with Kieran McGonigal's goal, and Niall O'Donnell got us level again at a period. But I think it was you said when we were talking earlier, it was like a plaster. It was only covering over, because once we, even when we got back to 14 as well, you always felt if when 14 apiece, that if Donegal had to push up, that we were going to get caught. Tyrone was going to catch us in the counter. And that's the way they ran away with it in the end of the game. Brendan, we had to go for it. We had to go for the juggler to try and bring it back.
And just looking at Oisin, listen, they got 6 points from the bench. They won by six points. And,
same old story again, Brendan.
Yeah, and you know, you look at the players, Alexa Tiernan McCann, you know, Cahill McShane. I mean, these guys are top drawer. Frank Burns, of course, as McKenna coming on as well. You know, and you think then, if I was just chatting somebody on the way up, I mean, likes of Mark Bradley there. If we had a Mark Bradley, he'd be playing, or he'd be coming on fairly quickly. And I just think the depth of Tyrone, but there's not much you can do about that, Oisin. You can only play with what you have. And I think for Donegal there, patched up at the back, we've sometimes, I suppose, made the best of what we have. But the big thing I'd have to say, the players never give up yesterday. I mean, Oisin, we've seen times before where when Tyrone took control of the game, they could have blitzed us. I mean, you have to admire that bit of steel is in the boys. They kept coming back this season, you know, Monaghan, Armagh. They never looked like they could be beaten. And last week against Derry, four down in a tight game, it looked like we were out again. I think if we had had the 15 on, you know, it would have been, even with Murphy's miss, it would have been a fascinating game as it wound down. Even with those subs coming on, we still would have had the opportunity, I think, to potentially win the match. So it's just sad that the game panned out that way, and it just left it, you know, with a big advantage to Tyrone. And
you have to give Donegal credit in that heat, being a man down to chip away at it and get back level, because listen, Brendan, we were there and we were in the shade and we were roasting. Down in the pitch, it was seriously, seriously hot. Now, Tyrone had to contend with that too. But give Donegal credit when they got it back. But you mentioned that the substitutes had an impact, like that McKenna So they did, and one of those points, he started and almost finished it. He gave it off, right. going up that right-hand side. And lightning speed. Cahill McShane chipped in with a couple. If we go back to championship defeats that we've had, particularly in the All-Ireland series against Tyrone, it was their bench that won the game for them. So it was a day in McCool Park. Remember, there was four of them came off, and every one of them got the scoreboard.
Right.
And it was the exact same yesterday. But if we, I agree with you, if we had 15... And 15v15 on the pitch, and we'd make a Murphy in the pitch, I think it would have been a totally different game. And I do believe that if we got that penalty and we kept Michael on the pitch, that going to half time, Donegal would have been bossing that game.
Yeah, the what ifs.
But it's just wee small things like that turn it. And Carriage, you were on about Carriage as well.
Yeah.
That challenge of Neil McGee when you watch it back last night, that merited a card, Brendan.
But early on, you do get the rub of the green in emotion. Just small points. You're on about that score of McKenna's, right?
Yeah.
Why didn't we put Oisin Gallen inside? We had put McGonagall up as an inside man. I think it was Owen Bann or Brennan came through and hand passed a simple ball to him. McKenna comes right through him and wins that ball because McGonagall obviously isn't an inside man. So I don't know what kind of shape Farah was in, but surely you've been better inside as a target man. And as well as that, I mean, Conor O'Donnell's come off the bench, scored against Dublin, scored a couple of points against Armagh. Some of those things left it. Now you're clutching at it, Oisin, but just from our perspective, I think that we needed to try something different because the one that, in fairness, Keelan got the goal, great goal, well done, he's right up the pitch. But the one went around the keeper, I'm just thinking if you were a nippy forward in there, if we had got another goal then, you would have really been asking
questions. If Owen Bann was able to break through like what he'd done a couple of times in that second half, for a third time if he was able to do it.
He had a great game.
Yeah, and the second half when we ran at Tyrone, they were causing problems. Listen, we're picking at it, Brendan.
Yeah.
If it was a different story, we wouldn't be picking here today. It's what ifs and buts and could we do this? But Declan and his management and Stephen Rochford felt that they brought players to the bench.
Yeah.
They brought players to the bench that could do a job. Paul Brennan came off the bench in the second half. Maybe we got Paul on a wee bit earlier.
True.
Could have changed the game. We've seen it the last day against Derry. Paul Brennan came in the second half and made an impact for Donegal and the one over Derry. Yeah. If we could have got him on maybe a wee bit earlier, could that have helped the situation?
You're right. I think he could have come on earlier. Oisin, now one team that is celebrating is our neighbours in Derry with an unbelievable minor victory, Oisin. You were just talking me through it there in terms of the excitement at the finish.
I watched some of it this morning. Listen, Derry took on the aristocrats of Gaelic football, Kerry, at minor level. Kerry have been a dominant force that age group for years. So they haven't. Derry has history. Derry lost a number of finals to them previously. So they did. Their last win came in 2002. So it's 19 years since they won the All-Ireland minor title. And to beat Kerry in an All-Ireland final at minor level is as big as you'll get in football, Brendan. Mm. And well done to Martin Boyle and to his young Chargers and his young captain, Matthew Downey. Listen, we know Henry Downey. There's a couple of these young Downey boys coming up through the age ranks are just as good as Daddy was. And Matthew Downey yesterday was 1-3, he scored, but his goal came from the penalty spot. The series, the way that the game ended, Derry were leading by a point, and then a mix-up between the fullback and the keeper gave the ball away late in the game to Kerry, who scored a goal, and Kerry went 2-0. And you thought that might be the chance gone. But Derry went straight back up the pitch and won a penalty. So they did. And young Matthew Downey absolutely hammered it into the back of the net. There was no question where the ball was going to go. He hit it with that much force, drilled it into the back of the net, and Derry go 1-0. Kerry go back up the pitch and get a free, and you think they're going to score it, and they miss it. And Derry are All-Ireland champions, so they are. But listen, the absolute for what that does now for Derry football, we've seen what the seniors played against Donegal. The under-20s were unlucky in the competition in Ulster. But now at minor level, you've got these young Downies coming up through the ranks. And there's a young guy, Murray, Lachlan Murray, who had from Desert Martin, who had a super game yesterday afternoon, particularly in the second half. And there's the young Diamond is in there. McGurk's in there as well. So these are names that were involved in Derry football, Brendan, when me and you were only wee Cubs back in the early 90s. That were part of that 93 All-Ireland winning team. Now the young boys are starting to produce it on the big stage at minor level. They've won an All-Ireland title. And they're going now, they'll be heading into senior very, very soon. So Derry football is on the up, but for them to win an All-Ireland title was magnificent, and it's a huge lift for them.
Is all the babies from our 2012 team need to
give them another 10 years yet.
There's a generation coming up.
Give them another 10 years. There is a generation, but listen, Derry have got it, and I heard Martin Boyle this morning, they have got it right at underage level in coaching in the county, Brendan.
Yes.
So they've got it spot on. So they do it, and to win an All-Ireland title against Kerry was magnificent for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, great stuff. Fair play to Derry. And listen, our Miners are out in the preliminary round free Antrim on Wednesday night at McCool Park. We want to wish Luke Barrett and his team all the best in that one. And of course, actually now, the county now changes to focus in terms of our men's football to, first of all, getting our county final played. It's set for 27th that weekend, 27th, 28th, 29th. Actually, they haven't decided on an actual date yet. And
there's congestion on the fixtures, Brendan.
Yeah, they
want to
get the league out of the way first. Yeah, and they, yeah. If say, if Kilcare and Eve Connell then play, then they've got to play their whatever those fixtures were. So I think they want to clear the league out. We thought they might pull it forward a bit. It's looking like they might hold to those dates.
The understanding was last night that it could possibly be played in 3 weeks' time. It's fixed for that last weekend, which is the weekend of the 27th to the 29th.
Yes.
We thought it could be pulled forward, but now this morning we've been told that no, it's going to be played because of the congestion in the league. And the problem is there's been so many games postponed or cancelled for various reasons, but COVID being the main one over the last number of weeks. So now there's a backlog. So there is to come. They're going to have to play possibly double fixtures the August Bank Holiday weekend to catch up. Then there's a round of fixtures the week after that. Then we go to the week of the 18th, 19th, I think it is. I'm doing it in my head here, Brendan. But the third week in August, that has been used if there's any more delays.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get the league finished out. Yeah. But there's still a fear that the league could be postponed. The CCC's not saying that. Me and you're talking about it, and everybody else that's involved in the GA circles in the county have this fear that the league will have to be postponed, because all we need is another couple of COVID cases, Brendan, in the county that affects teams. Mm. And next thing, there's more delays and more delays and more delays. So the CCC will sit down and discuss it now over the next couple of days, but the indications are that the county final will not be until the last weekend in August. And then straight away after that, you're jumping into this year's championship.
Yeah, it'll be all coming thick and fast. Oisin, thanks so much. You just mentioned ifs and buts from yesterday. A man that has no ifs and buts and is waiting now on an Ulster final appearance against Monaghan is the one and only Enda McGinley, and he joins us now to give us his views on yesterday and that Ulster final.
Yes, Brandon, I'm good. I'm hoping you're keeping well. When I left you yesterday, you're a wee bit disconsolate.
Thanks. I'm going to pretend that's genuine what you're saying to me there. And there's a lot of clouds about Donegal this last while, where sun has broken through from time to time. Everybody's given off, but there's a bit of a dark one hanging there. I don't know now, over around the Red Hand county of Tyrone, I'd imagine the sun's shining this morning. Can you give me an idea what it feels like there?
Well, seeing that you have given us plenty of dark clouds over the past 3-4 years, it feels only right that we've chased them back over the border again, back to you again. So I'm hoping it'll hover there for a while, but don't worry, the sun will always come out someday, and for now you can sit back and cheer your neighbours on.
Yeah, well, we will indeed. You know, just talking there about Derry as well, the brilliant minor victory at the weekend there.
That's right.
And there's a lot of counties kind of getting things right now. I'm just, and our under 20s beat by Monaghan. Me and you spoke about it briefly yesterday, obviously completely overshadowed by the tragic to Brendan Oak Duffy, you know. But in terms of our talent coming through, and there seems to be some very good underage teams coming through in different counties, and certainly, as I say, that Derry victory at the weekend there, and with Derry's performance against Donegal, I think there's definitely a makings of a real Ulster challenge coming from Derry again also.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Derry's a team on up. There's a huge enthusiasm about there at the minute, but it's strange. Like, I suppose for us now, we're both obviously very young men. Like, I'd never say we're old, but we're long enough about now to have seen a number of teams building up a headwind, and you're thinking they're going to really push on, and yet it never really materialises. But certainly they're a team on the up, Derry. But we've seen Cavan on their up in the past. We've seen Down on their up in the past. And even Armagh themselves have been coming for a long time and had a couple of good underage teams. And it does build up, but getting up the levels and getting to a competitive level and actually then becoming a dominant team. Like, I've been looking at it this year, right? But then I don't see there being a dominant Ulster side. The way that Armagh and Tyrone had it for a while, the way that Donegal had it, even the way that, like said, Monaghan had it, a really dominant side there for 3-4 years. I think over the next 3-4 years, Ulster is going to be quite open. And while Donegal is obviously licking the wounds today, like Monaghan 2-3 years ago would have had similar defeats. That's it done. But that doesn't seem to happen. Like the really big teams, like Monaghan still are there and are going to be obviously a big test for Tyrone in the Ulster final. So people were writing off them a couple of years ago and were surprised that Malachy O'Rourke took them for his final couple of years because they thought they were done. And yet they've stayed there. They've stayed there. And now they've come again. So Donegal still has a serious depth of quality. And whilst their underage teams maybe hasn't won a title of that this year, they've still been a benchmark. I know whenever the Tyrone underage teams go to play Donegal, Donegal are seen as a big, big scalp to take because there's serious quality up there. On the club front, Donegal are much more competitive than previously. So I wouldn't be too disconsolate. Like it's hard any day after a championship defeat. It's more like a wake than anything. But in terms of Ulster, I think it's in a very healthy position. Derry are coming to the party. I don't see Donegal leaving the party, to be honest. And there's a couple of other teams there as well.
Good stuff, Enda. Good stuff. Enda, yesterday's game, me and you were up doing a bit of commentary together. And before the match, you were saying, right, who's going to hit the points for us? And I think we're probably being critical of both our sides because I was looking and thinking, right, who's going to defend it for us? And we were both probably pulling holes in terms of the game. But you got to be impressed with what Tyrone did as a team. First of all, was on the pitch, the performance of McGeary in particular, and then obviously, and as we know, the bench to come on. I'm just wondering, and had Murphy's penalty went into the net and Donegal 10-5 up, what would have been your thoughts on how the game would have evolved after that, taking the sending off? I still think the game would have been really, really close. I was always expecting a big finish from Tyrone, but those two factors completely changed the whole game and its outcome then?
Without a shadow of a doubt. Like that game yesterday, it's one of those games that it reflects really, really harshly on Donegal, and I don't think it gives a fair reflection of where Donegal are at, nor for in the exact same way does it give a accurate reflection. Tyrone aren't suddenly a hugely dominant side over Donegal. That game absolutely turned on a number of incidents. I think it was destined to always be a tight game. If things had remained as they were, I couldn't see Donegal pulling away. I couldn't see Tyrone pulling away. I think they would have went at it hammer and tong. I think the biggest difference, if Donegal had got that penalty and Murphy stayed in the field and Neil McGee stayed in the field, Donegal would have been in that wee bit of a lead. Tyrone would have kept with them, I'd have no doubt at all. But what we've seen, particularly in the final quarter, was a resurgence in sort of Tyrone confidence. They looked like a team that suddenly seemed to be losing its shackles and finding themselves and finding confidence. I think that was certainly coloured in or helped or boosted by the fact that them big players weren't on the pitch, that the penalty hadn't went in, and it really felt like their day. And sort of like a young or a new team, sometimes you need them days where things are going for you and then you suddenly find yourself and then you suddenly slot into your top gear, which you know yourself, you can be a great team and you can be fighting and working hard and working hard. And we all know that that's key, but there is nothing like the power of confidence to boost you into the top gear of what that team. And you just look transformed. And that's for me, what I, looking out in that pitch in the final 10 minutes, I seen a Tyrone team transformed. And that was the magic ingredient of confidence, which you never know where you're going to get it or where you're going to take it. But Donegal have been, without a doubt, for that group of Tyrone players, Donegal have been a bogey team. They have been the benchmark. And to really feel as if they were getting on top of them, that they were the dominant side on the pitch, that sort of infused that new Tyrone team with confidence. But without a doubt, that sense of confidence on the pitch, whenever you lose your two leaders, Donegal and Michael Murphy and Neil McGee at either end of the pitch, like that's a massive ingredient in that happening. But from a Tyrone point of view, or for any team's point of view, you don't really care how that happens. If it happens, brilliant, because there's enough days and enough years where you struggle to find it, even though you're doing everything right, that whenever it happens, for whatever reason it happens, you grab it with both hands and you just enjoy it.
Yeah, the Killarney defeat seems to have sealed into insignificance now a bit, I suppose. And just on about the bounce, I think when Declan Bonner took over Donegal, you know, there was a freedom of playing. You know, we keep going back to that game in Kerry. The first game in Kerry was 3-14 to 2-18. You're like, wow, what, you know, from a time when it was, we just completely had a blanket defence. And of course, everybody plays their own parts of it. You know, still hitting 23 scores yesterday. And while they're looking at this new type of playing, there definitely does seem that wee bit of a freedom. And obviously, with the manager being in charge so long, and I said to you before, and I got the feeling from the throwing forwards, they seem to be defenders maybe first at times. And I think Declan Bonner flipped that around in many ways. He really wanted the players to go out and express themselves. And with the talent you have now, in the there is some ability. So if you can have, I mean, Brennan, Hamsey, McKiernan, and these guys, they're all good defenders. You're going to try and block up your middle, but when you release players, then the amount of pace and ability you have now is really starting to blossom with some of these lads that you have, particularly, as I say, that bench. You know, it was phenomenal yesterday, the ability was coming on.
Yeah, no, I'd fully agree. And to be fair to you, you had sort of been pointing up for a wee while, and we had sort of been on other sides of the one coin, where I was pointing up the strength of the Donegal 15, and you were pointing up the strength of the overall Tyrone squad. And I suppose midway through yesterday, when Donegal had been hit by them heavy blows early on, and you knew they were putting on Stephen McManaman, who wasn't fully fit, and you were looking around about where's your game changers, or where's your real energy coming into the squad. You looked at the throne bench and you just thought, my gosh, there's name after name there that you're sort of thinking them boys are probably starters. So absolutely, the strength in the panel like that puts it into a massively healthy place. Like, I'm just thinking of them throne boys. I live only a mile and a half from the Gravahi complex here at home. And I'm thinking of them boys gathering up, say, on Tuesday night over there. And every member of that squad and the members of the panel, they will be hungry. And because it's a new management in, nobody is cast iron assured of where the management think they are in the pecking order. They all know, and they've already seen players that were in at the start and are now out, players that were out at the start and didn't maybe feel as if they were getting a chance. The likes of Niall Sludden suddenly back in and being a key player. Tiernan McCann out, not really getting any game time at all, and yet he'll feel as if he's getting there. And suddenly both the players that had the reputations have had to earn their corn this year, and other players, newer players, know that it's not as if there's a cast iron team there and there's a manager's favourites thing, which always comes to pass when a manager has been there 2-3+ years, never mind the legacy that Mickey, or the length of time that Mickey Hart was there for. So in terms of a place and environment around a squad, that has to be an amazing place up there for Tyrone come Tuesday night when they gather.
Yeah, I suppose we're clutching at some things there. I suppose as we mentioned in the sending off and the penalty. You know, I have to admire Donegal in that heat, 14 men. And I know the goal was, like I was saying to Oisin, somewhat of a kind of almost a sticking plaster was going to get ripped off. A goal was never going to be enough. It kind of kept it in there. It did make Tyrone a wee bit uneasy. And the Langan kick, me and you spoke about it yesterday. You know, McBertie had hit the one That's before. It was a kick for a right footer. He'd planted one before it. And you know, me and you were looking, I just had my head down when he was kicking it. It was this serious fear about it, and it went wide. That would have put a point in it. And might ask a few wee questions, because, you know, as you said, the confidence thing is one thing, but also the surety that if you go two up and then you get one, and then you know you're really killing it. Back to a point then, there might have been a small chance, but it was some effort, in fairness, from Donegal, and not to ever go away in the game when everything was looking like it was going to be a rout.
I'd fully agree. I thought that Langan kick was critical, and it's hard to fault him on, because he's been massive for Donegal this year. He's been one of the players that has been in good form. But he missed it, and that not getting to within one point and just a black card plus the point, that would have given Donegal a wee bit more energy. And we spoke about it yesterday that given the heat of all days, yes, teams can manage nowadays because of the blanket defence and much more zonal marking approach. You can manage in some ways better going down to 14 than maybe in previous years, because you can retreat and sink more into the defensive thing and look to hit on the break with that 14 man. But in yesterday's heat, that was an absolute killer to try to do that. And Tyrone did keep a fairly high tempo to the game. So at that point, whenever Tyrone got the black card and it went back to 14 again, there was going to be more space on the pitch. There was going to be more space for boys to run into, and for anybody, the team that had the energy at that stage was going to really push on. And because Donegal had been working so hard, and they absolutely did, they stayed in that game like hanging on by their fingernails, having taken a couple of big blows. So absolutely, they showed huge character, but I think in the amount of effort they had to do to show that, it left them. And it was really only, I watched the game again last night. It was really only in the last several minutes that Tyrone started to pull away for definite. Yeah. And that's just whenever the Donegal fuel tank ran empty.
Yeah, and you obviously had the Keelan McGonagall chance again. Ellis, we're just, listen, it was always looking to get Tyrone victory as that game, the further went on. But that wee chance of Keelan's when he was around the keeper, you know, I was just saying to Oisin, like, we had moved him inside. Surely we should have had a forward in there, because that one that McKenna took off him, he bursted past him. It's because he's a midfielder. He wasn't ready for that ball. But that said, listen, Sean Patton, brilliant as ever. You know, two saves. They go on the end. And listen, it's a different game again. And you could have had that bit of a route. His kickouts were top class. No, Owen Bann really came in late in the second half. I thought Brendan McCool, you know, did his best. You know, put himself all around the place.
Yeah.
Keenan McGonagall had moments in it. He said Langan is just, he's an absolute key player for us. He's arguably like nearly a key man out the pitch now. I think he's such a talent. Niall O'Donnell had some decent moments in the game. Brennan when he came on too. And, you know, everybody else did their bit in it. But listen, as I say, fair play to Tyrone. They deserve to win the match. It's just a pity it's a spectacle, and even from a kind of neutral kind of look in, that Michael sending off just meant that it was one side trying to claw it against another, you know, and it left it that it was always going to be that kind of uneasy victory. And I think you're right, Enda, for Tyrone people to read into that too much. But no, they played well, but because of the factors was in it that, you know, there's still a lot to come from this Tyrone team. I still think there's a lot more in them.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I wouldn't be taking yesterday as proof that Tyrone are somehow a really good, challenging team. The positivity I'm feeling is just because of the various wee ingredients that you sort of look for in a team. You're starting to look for a balance, right? Whereas how many players are actually in good form at the minute? And that's where you could go through Donegal at the minute and just say, yeah, boys are trying, but they're not like a player that it's just that they're in top form. And you know yourself as a player, that's something you can't really force either. You can do all your gym, you can do all your preparation, you can do everything. But just you go through phases in anybody's career where you're playing and you're still playing of a decent quality if you're that level of player, but you're not just flying in games. Things just aren't happening easily for you. And sometimes groups of players go through that together. For Tyrone, it's heading in the opposite direction. I just see numerous players that have been out of form, and there seems to be an increasing number of players that are in form. Now, yesterday's match, again, I think it was the confidence that came into them at the end really helped them over the line. But absolutely, like, and for Tyrone, it's not the Donegal monkey off my back as far as I'm concerned, because we beat Donegal without their two main leaders on the pitch and without them really being in top form. So I think there's probably another installment yet to come, possibly next year, were those two teams, and I think it would be even better, because everybody was heading into that match yesterday. Nobody really knew where Tyrone were. They weren't thoroughly convinced about Tyrone. We knew sort of Donegal weren't maybe quite at the peak of their powers, but they still had an amazing 15 on the pitch, but they were carrying injuries. I think there's possibly another installment, and I would love there to be another installment where Tyrone have sort of proven themselves, have confirmed to themselves that they are right back up at that sort of top table or in there, thereabouts, and where Donegal are coming with a better wind in their sails, and then let the two of them go at it again. But certainly Tyrone got the benefit of the doubt yesterday, but I don't think Tyrone can look too much into it. But the ingredients, we seem to have a nice shape. Our full back line is looking much better than it has done. Centre half back with Michael O'Neill is looking good. Them two big fellas, Con Kilpatrick, Brian Kennedy in midfield, suddenly we look as if, and they're going to be learning all the time. That's a brand new midfield partnership, pretty inexperienced. So they should just get better and better match on match. And then forwards, Darren McCurry is playing with a consistency that I haven't seen ever from him in the past. So I'm hoping that can continue. And you've got the returning men, Callum McShane, Conor McKenna, and possibly Darragh Canavan by the time the Ulster final comes round. And suddenly then you start to think, you know what? There's a team that's gathering just at the right time.
Yeah, indeed, Enda. And just, I was just thinking there, you're saying another installment. That's all we have to look forward to at the minute, is a future installment and another game we crack at Tyrone or crack at Ulster. But for yourselves, Enda, just looking ahead to the final with Monaghan, I was just thinking, go down the road, of course, McEnany had that thing in his Monaghan time where he could never get across the line against Tyrone. So I'm just wondering, would he rather Donegal come through in that game? Now, I know it's a different team now, and we've moved on and all, but there was that issue that Monaghan just couldn't get an Ulster under McEnany, and it was Tyrone was the bogey team.
Yeah, I'd actually forgotten about that, but you're absolutely right, because we done after McEnany had stepped away, and it was during Malachy O'Rourke's tenure, and Joel Monaghan were playing a couple of big games, and I was at some of them, either, you know, championship preview nights or chat nights and that there, and McEnany was a guest along with myself, and I mind him, and I couldn't believe he was A, saying it, but B, that was their mindset back then, because he just literally said, like, any time we seen Tyrone coming, we just knew we couldn't beat Tyrone. And he spoke about Tyrone in a way which was a massive, for me, mental weakness. And I was sitting there, I couldn't believe it, because we always seen Monaghan as a really good team. We knew we had to be on form. And certainly for us, we weren't playing with this idea that Monaghan were some mentally weak team that they just feel beat before they come onto the pitch with us. That now, so they seem to hide that. But certainly for McEnany, we became a big black cloud that loomed on his horizon and made him feel pretty down any time we came into his presence. Now, since then, under Malachy O'Rourke, obviously that has been turned around. Monaghan have went toe-to-toe with Tyrone a couple of times and beat them in the Ulster Championship, but have always then struggled to beat them on the bigger stage in Croke Park and have lost out to them on a couple of occasions. So I think Monaghan teams still feel Tyrone are this wee step above them. And I'm not sure the evidence is there to back that up. The only thing I would say is that Monaghan team, fueled with the emotion and the hurt and the pride that they'll have had in themselves and how they handled last weekend, and the collective goodwill that's going to be around that squad and the sense that they're on a mission to go and do something, I think they'll come in and they will go with that Ulster final and at Tyrone in a way maybe they have failed to do in the past. And I would love to see it, because they have a cracking team, a lovely blend of the experienced guys and then these new younger side guys. They have serious, serious pace. When you look at the matchups across both teams, it's exceptionally even. And obviously in Conor McManus, you've got the ultimate match winner, the ultimate big game player. And they will love to put one over Tyrone in a big game and get that All-Ireland semi berth. So it's got the makings of a brilliant Ulster final. I, from a Tyrone point of view, even this far out, I just feel there's going to be a confidence and a sense within Tyrone that they are slipping into their groove, and that will make them a pretty difficult opposition for Monaghan to take down.
Yes, indeed. And fascinating stuff as ever. We look forward to this Ulster final. It's been a great championship. Took a wee while to hit fire, but it's been a great championship so far, and looking forward to that final. And I will probably see you up about Clonus, and I'll just leave it. May the best team win.
Absolutely, Brenton. Cheers.
Thanks, Edda. I'll see you then, my man. Talk to you. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Yes, we turn our attention now to the TG Cahir All-Ireland Senior Football Championship Group 4 and our Donegal ladies and their boss, Maxi Kern. Maxi, how are you this evening?
Middling,
Maxi. Listen, unlike we had three defeats at the weekend, but you love to fight another day. Maxi, just looking, we'd beaten Galway earlier in the league, and you just made reference to the fact that they were missing a few players. That said, just quick overview of the game. 164 at half time. I was trying to get bits and pieces. I know Maria was doing some commentary on it. We were trying to listen in bits and pieces. It looked like everything was in place, and then just a crazy start to the second half.
Yeah. You know, look, I think over the weekend, I think one thing that kind of was borne out to me, and, you know, we often hear the adage, form is temporary and class is permanent, you know, and no more so than the Tyrone performance in the men's game. You know, you had some really, really good players that maybe hadn't been playing well, and all of a sudden it just comes together for Tyrone on the day. And, you know, I think the same thing happened for Galway. You know, they had a couple of really good players that, you know, some didn't play in the league match and some just weren't themselves in the league match. And we had probably, you could say, the perfect performance that day. But look, we knew that Galway were going to come with a bang, and we knew that any group of players of that much talent has always got the potential to cause you bother, you know. And that's ultimately how it played out. But look, at the end of the day, we were in a brilliant position at half time. We were 5 points up, and you know, we definitely would have stole one penalty for a foot block. We had a Gary sent off for a foot block in the championship, and nowadays it's not even a free. So, you know, had that been given and we scored it, and we had a definite free after it as well. So, you know, we could have done 10 points up and been in a really good position. But look, as you say, the the 1 minute and 50 seconds that followed after half time, nobody seen coming, and no more than the goal against Cork that beat us in the National League semi-final. You know, they were all very much of our own making, and you know, we've no one to blame but ourselves. We have to hold our hands up and say we just made a mess of it from a really good position, and we just threw it all away.
Listen, Maxie, nobody knows, you know, the game inside out there, you know, and I know from talking to the different girls involved, you know, you're top class in terms of coaching and setup. You know, sometimes these things happen in games, and I mean, it's crazy that the three goals happened the way they did, but in many ways, Maxie, if it was knockout championship, it would be so tough to learn the lesson from that. Whereas now, you know, we always say this thing about learning in defeat. It's going to really, really refocus you and right the wrongs heading into the crunch game in Tuam against Kerry.
Well, it should do. And look, at least we have been afforded the opportunity, to put it right or to put it to bed. You know, it definitely changes the course of our route in the competition. Even you do win at the weekend, but at the same time, we were always going to have to beat Kerry anyway, no matter what way the weekend game went against Galway. Had we beat Galway and lost to Kerry, you know, you'd quite likely not qualify either. So it was, it was always going to come down to this. But look, you're just going into the game now against Kerry in a very different mindset. You know, you can be, one way you would have been in, you know, riding on the crest of a wave, having beaten a top Galway team, and feeling very good about yourself. And now you're going into the game, you know, feeling quite down and wronged, and with a feeling of, you know, I need to put this right, you know. And look, they can both be very good ways to get into a game, and you know, I'm not saying one is better than the other, but yeah, as you mentioned, we're fortunate we have another chance, and you know, we know we haven't become a bad team overnight, and you know, our first half display was very good. In fact, our performance overall wasn't bad at all. It was just those 2 minutes of madness that happened, you know, and you know, and it gave Galway, you know, such energy, and you know, they went from 5 points down to 5 points up in a couple of minutes, and it meant that their defensive system then, that they were struggling to use in the first half because they had to try and chase the lead. They were leaving holes at the back, and then when they were 5 points up, they didn't have to do that. And it just made it very difficult to break it down.
Yeah, Maxie, just could you explain us how the group section works around, you know, you had to beat Kerry anyway. Just explain this and the teams that's in and around you there.
Well, it's a three-team group, and everybody plays two games. So, you know, you could end up in a situation where Galway beat Kerry, Donegal beat Galway, and Kerry beat Donegal, and everybody ended up with 3 points, and then it comes down to score difference and head-to-head and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it becomes a bit of a minefield then. So the easy, look, you could still qualify by winning a game and losing a game, but, you know, it's the lapse of the gods then how it goes. So we would, the obvious way to go is through the front door and win your two games, which we felt we had every chance of doing, but that's just not how it is now. And then the winner in one group plays a runner-up in another group, and the runner-up in our group happens to play the Dubs in the quarter-final. So you've brought that inevitable juggernaut forward as well. So that's the other side of it. But listen, that's the way down the line. That's another day's work. And it has altered the course of events for us. And but look, as I say, we're very glad that we have another chance, and we're very glad to, you know, to try and, you know, try and rectify what went wrong the last day, and try and learn and be better from it.
Yeah, Maxie, well, there's been some cracking games already this year, and you know, outside of our victories in them, just hearing some talking to Mo O'Donnell and people covering the games and that, it's fantastic football. You know, Maxie, I know it's tough today after that defeat, but it is a great time to play for the ladies and be in the round. That, listen, we're up challenging on our day, Maxie. There's nobody we can't beat. So we'll head for this game against Kerry, and I know the first few days is always difficult, but you'll soon turn things around, and we'll go on there all guns blazing.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Kerry are a Division 2 team, you know, on the up, and you know, there's some really good players. They have a fire air lady called Louise Murherty. We like to call her Gooch because she's every bit as good as the male version, Gooch. So look, she's a player that's going to take serious watching, and it will, you know, it's great to have games with players of that quality in the field, no more than the Geraldine and the Cairns and the Mead Hegartys, these people on our side, you know. So it is, look, the ladies' football is definitely on the rise, and the quality of the product is getting better and better, and the game's live on TV on Saturday, so I'm sure viewers will be in for a treat, no matter what way the game goes.
Yeah, magic stuff, Max. And of course, involved Coach Amiga Dore. Hey, I must meet you down there with a surfboard someday, and we'll hit a few waves.
Looking forward to it.
We can work on that nice tan of yours. Eh?
Maxie, yeah, badly needed, all right.
Listen, Maxie, listen, fair play to you. Listen, chin up that and get ready for this clash. Eh? The county's behind you. Doing a great job there, Maxie, and I'll catch up with you later on in the summer.
Thanks, Brendan.
Good. Thanks, Maxie. Thanks, sir. Yes, now wrapping up the show, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Michael Foley, award-winning writer. He writes with the Times, the Sunday Times. He's written various books. He has supreme knowledge on the GAA. Isn't that right, Michael? How are you this evening?
That must be the most glorious and inaccurate introduction I've ever had on the radio. But I'll take it. I'll take it and run with it, Brendan.
I'll tell you, Michael, you're a great man to catch up with. Always good to talk, Michael. Listen, I have trouble reading books and admire anybody that can pen them. I mean, you've written the Kings of September. You've written a Mickey Hart autobiography. I'd love to get into these with you. The Bloody Field has been your latest one, Michael. And sometimes it was a very busy weekend with Championship. I'd love to get a talk to you around those books and that and have a proper yarn. You know, time is always the enemy here, Michael. But Michael, just jumping into the weekend's action, great to get somebody from outside of Ulster. You know, we're looking at Ulster here. There's been some great games and that. Overall, what have you made of it, and do you think there is any challenger to the big 2/3 out there?
Yeah, look, it's been obviously, look, we've had an unbelievable weekend. I mean, the Armagh Monaghan game was just extraordinary for all sorts of reasons. I mean, obviously, you had the terrible tragedy in Monaghan, and sympathies to everybody involved with that. And then you had two teams coming out, and particularly Monaghan, in very difficult circumstances, and just delivering an incredible game of football. And then you had Tyrone Donegal, which to me would really be, if you're talking about teams that can possibly trouble the big two, well, here's two of them. Tyrone Donegal, and look, it's a hugely frustrating result for Donegal again, you know. In my mind, Donegal were probably the team that could possibly have got in between Kerry and Dublin, you know. They have it all going for them. But look, it's been well charted and well talked up and down that, you know, they're forever one win away from that big breakthrough. And the same applies again. It's a knockout championship. If this is a back door and Donegal had lost in the circumstances they did yesterday, you'd be saying, okay, they're going to come back in a couple of qualifiers and they'd be dangerous. But it's not. It was do or die. It was do or die on Sunday, and unfortunately, they couldn't get the job done. So it's hugely frustrating. From a Tyrone perspective, I was down in Killarney. I was at the Kerry game, and I, honest to God, in all the years watching Tyrone, I could not remember a more flat, soulless performance from a Tyrone team. And I think of all the things you can say about a Tyrone team, to say it lacks personality or that it's bland, that's not something you associate with any Tyrone team. But they were down in Kerry. There was an absence of personal responsibility, never mind kind of collective, tactical sort of rigour and that. Just basically, what can I do to stop the flow here, you know? But then, look, since then, they played well against Cavan. They took 20 minutes to sort Cavan, to kind of suss Cavan out, and they were very good for the rest of that game. They were solid again yesterday. What impresses me is that they seem to be developing a bit of depth. Look, Cal McShane came off the bench, scored a bunch more points again yesterday, played well against Cavan. Niall Sludden is going well for them. Kieran McGeary had a very good game yesterday. These guys are coming forward a little bit more now. Well, obviously, McShane always is a big step, but for a guy coming back from injury, these are now real options for them. If they can get over Monaghan, it's probably Kerry next, presuming Kerry beat Cork. That's going to be a massive game, and it'll be a massive game, I think, because more so than ever before, Tyrone are going to come, I think, with more of a very, very defined and very sort of clear attacking approach that they can bring to Croke Park on an All-Ireland semi-final. Rather than coming up in containment mode, I think they'll be coming with a different approach if they get that far.
Yeah, definitely, Michael. It was no coincidence Tyrone won the match by 6 points. They got 6 points off their bench. It was very telling that was going to happen. But very interesting about your point, Michael. Me and you spoke about that. You were saying down Killarney, you just couldn't believe Tyrone. It's very hard to put your finger on that, and it's very interesting talking to you about it. Obviously, how you know Mickey Hart, and they've got to know his whole setup in terms of his life and the football. There seemed to be this spectre for me watching Tyrone where they were playing a wee bit inhibited under Hart, and I think as time went on, Mickey Hart's voice must have got louder, because as new players come in, Hart, you know, being who he is and what he is, it's as if maybe the players were almost, say, completely guided by him when they needed to go and play. It felt for me that Tyrone forwards were defenders first. And you see me, Declan Bonner come in after Rory Gallagher. He released Donegal to go and play and express themselves. And you just get a sense with Tyrone now, they're finally realising, here, we got to let boys be forwards and go up and play. And as you said, the drastic tactics coming to Croke Park, where you're just sitting and waiting to get beat in your shell. You know, I think this Tyrone team, should they get there, will certainly have a go.
Well, I think it's just a case of, you know, like, I mean, it's a case of kind of like the way Tyrone have been set up for many years will win you plenty of Ulsters, you know? And it's totally, I mean, Ulster being such a competitive province and it's such an important thing to win, entirely understandable. But like when you come to Croke Park, it's a different ballgame. And, you know, I just think that now, I think on, like, with the way Brian Duher and Fergal Logan have set out their stall from early on, they're obviously trying to change. They're trying to change a culture of play. They're trying to change. It's a huge job. And I mean, Beaulieu and Killarney that day, I had sympathy for them from that score. I was kind of thinking, well, look, they're probably letting a few lads burn here because they want to see how they'll react. This is the way we're going to play. I remember well, Donegal went down to play Kerry one time under McGuinness. It might have been 2012. And having played quite tight up to that, they kind of went open. They just played an open game and Kerry took them apart. Yeah. And it was almost like that was a kind of an endorsement to the players that, look, you're either with me or against me in terms of McGuinness's approach. Yeah. You know, this is what happens if you go off and if we try and go another way. And maybe in the same way, that might be the message for Tyrone from Killarney. Lads, you can do it the way you've been doing it up to now. You can be uncomfortable in one-on-one situations if you don't have loads of people around you, but you need to get you need to get adapted to that. You need to get the head up when you get the ball. You need to play to the strengths of the players that we have. They're very, very lucky in the sense that, you know, they have a Cathal McShane now when he's fully fit. He's a target man. And I do think, like I know I've mentioned Sludden before, I think Sludden's a fine player. Mm. And to see him kicking points in the last couple of games now the way he is, I think, you know, it just points to an element of depth and variety to their play that's possible now. But it is going to be a process for Tyrone. It's not all going to come together in year one. But they're going the right direction. And even, you know, I know I've been highly critical there now of Tyrone and Killarney, but I understand what they're trying to do, and you will have days like that. But, I mean, it was a warning sign to the players, I think, Killarney. Yeah. You know, you need to take hold of this, and you need to represent, you know.
Yeah, Michael, listen, I agree. And like, Tyrone, Bate, Tierney McCann and Sludden, these guys were completely off form, you know, the lower players who were kind of household names for me, they weren't doing it. They just weren't playing at a level. That's all seems to start happening again. I just noticed there, being a Cork man, you didn't just throw it the way of it's looking like Kerry yet. You're keeping that result open, yeah.
Well, listen, hope is a wonderful thing. Look, do you know what I think? I'll tell you, maybe it's hopeless hope, but you know the way when you're going into a game that your team or your county is expected to lose, the closer you get, you kind of start thinking, but you know, if this happens and that happens, then it mightn't be that bad. I think the reality is, obviously, Kerry will be roasting favourites, and given the circumstances of what happened last year in Páirc Uí Chaoimh with the last-minute goal from Mark Keane, which, by the way, I would imagine that if there's ever a poll for the greatest moment in Irish sporting history, that's going to walk it. I presume, anyway. I just presume that. But anyway, like, that was such an incredible moment for Cork. But then, of course, they went and lost a tip in the
final.
Yeah,
I know.
So, like, that's the frustrating thing for them. So, I mean, you would imagine that Kerry will be wired for this. They have been wired, and I've seen them a few times now in the flesh, and I can tell you this much: every single ball is a statement. Every single tackle, every single run, everything they're doing is geared to proving to themselves, most of all, that they are a different animal and much more focused and ready than they were last year. And they will bring it. Like, it's in Killarney on a Sunday afternoon. Like, the weather obviously at the moment is unbelievable. I don't know what it's meant to be like on Sunday, but it's all like Cork haven't won in Killarney since 1995. It's set up for Kerry to make a massive statement, and Cork could well get caught in the headlines of that statement.
Yes,
but look,
yes.
They ran him close in Cork 2 years ago. They played well. They ran him to 4 points. They beat them last year. If you go on the very nuts and bolts of the scorelines, there's reason enough there to say that Cork can give them a serious contest.
Yeah.
Whether they can win or not, you never know.
We live in hope. Michael, finally, we're just running low on time here. Yesterday, the Dubs, nothing they see here or what's going on? It's very strange what's happening. Is this the season that's going to unfold a small bit?
I think we're seeing the inevitable here. Like, I mean, it's not so much the Stephen Cluxons, the Kian O'Sullivans, the Jack McCaffreys, Paul Mannions from other years that are leaving. It's the next level down. It's losing your Eric Lowndes, even a Kevin McMenamin, who doesn't seem to be around. It's when you lose that depth. It's when the gaps start to open. Like, at the start of the season, I was asked on a podcast I was for the All-Ireland and I was leaning towards Dublin. On the basis that they might pull all these guys back in again, form so far doesn't look good, and it's hard to turn the ship. I doubt if they're holding anything back for an All Ireland semi final or a final. I'd say they're desperately looking for form. Now, first half yesterday, they looked the business. Yes. I mean, Conn was flying, Kilkenny was flying, Brian Fenton was flying. So look, it won't take the Dubs. Like, it won't take much to get back into gear again if they do manage it. So, but at the moment, I mean, look, on form, Kerry clearly are the form team in the country.
Yes.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's not the place to be in July. Maybe you want to be the form team in the country in another month. There's time yet for Dublin to get together.
We live in hope. As I say, Michael, brilliant stuff. We'll get you on again to talk about these books. So you watch yourself, and we'll be supporting the Cork boys at the weekend.
Well, actually, we need all the help we can get. Thanks, Brendan. Anytime.
Good man.
Anytime.
Thanks, Michael. Right, folks, that's a wrap again. Thanks so much for tuning in. And I want to thank my guests this evening. Of course, Oisin Kelly, Head of Sport here, for dropping in, giving us his views. I want to thank Ladies Boss Maxie Kern, Enda McGinley, and of course, Michael Foley. I want to thank Kevin here for producing and looking after me. Next weekend, we turn our attention to hurling. Nicky Rackard semi-final against Tyrone, 2 p.m. in Carrigmore. And then 5 p.m, our ladies take on Kerry in the All-Ireland Series. We'll be touching in on those games. We'll be having feedback from the Ulster final, of course, Monaghan and Tyrone, and also a roundup of local GAA action. I'll speak to you all then.
The DL Debate, presented by Brendan Devaney, is in association with Sarah's Kitchen at Sister Sarah's Letterkenny, serving food you'll love with outdoor dining. Book now and enjoy the Sarah experience.